Georgia Supreme Court Leo Frank Appeals Documents, 1913, 1914, page 1045 slide. Visible translated text is as follows. Defendants Exhibit 1. The first punch was 6:01. The second one was 6:32 or 6:33. He took the slip back in his office. I glanced all the way down, and there was a punch for every number. While we were walking through the factory, Mr. Frank asked two or three times for a cup of coffee. As to what Mr. Frank said about the murder, I don't remember that I heard him express himself except down in the basement. The officers showed him where the body was found, and he made the remark that it was too bad or something to that effect. When we left the factory to go to police headquarters, Newt Lee was under arrest. I never considered Mr. Frank as being under arrest at that time. There had never been said anything to him in my presence about putting him under arrest. Mr. Frank's appearance at the station house was exactly like it was when I first saw him. He stepped quickly. When the door of the automobile was opened, he jumped lightly off Mr. Darley's lap, went up the steps pretty rapid. Cross-examination. I never saw Mr. Frank until that morning. I don't know whether his natural movements or manner of speech were quick or not. We didn't know whether the girl was a white girl or not until we rubbed the dirt from the child's face and pulled down her stocking a little piece. The tongue was not sticking out, it was wedged between the teeth. She had dirt in her eye and mouth. The cord around her neck was drawn so tight it was sunk in her flesh, and the piece of underskirt was loose over her hair. I don't know whether Mr. Frank went upstairs or not after we reached his house. I think he called to his wife to get him his collar and tie. He got his coat and vest someplace, but I don't know where. At the time Mrs. Frank was calling Mr. Darley, Mr. Frank was putting on his collar and tie down in the reception hall. We were at the house 15 or 20 minutes. After Mrs. Frank had said something about Mr. Frank getting his breakfast before he went, Mr. Black said something about a drink would do good. Mrs. Frank then called her mother, who said that there wasn't anything in the house, that Mr. Selig had an acute attack of indigestion the night before and used it all up. Mr. Frank readily consented to go to the undertaker's with us. When we got in the car, we told him it was Mary Fagan, and he said he could tell whether she was an employee or not by looking at his books, that he knew very few of the girls. Yes, anybody facing the door of the little chapel at the undertaker's could have seen the corpse. As to whether I know that Mr. Frank didn't see the corpse, he could have got a glance at the whole corpse, but when Mr. Giesling turned the face over, no one could have got a good look at the face unless they stepped in the room. Mr. Giesling turned the young lady's face directly toward me. Mr. Frank was standing somewhere behind me, outside of the room. I turned around to see if Mr. Frank was looking. I don't know that he didn't get a glance at the corpse, but no one but Mr. Giesling and I at this moment stepped up and looked at the little girl's face. What Mr. Frank and Mr. Black saw behind my back, I can't say. I don't say that, Mr.